Welcome to the Money Advantage Podcast, empowering business owners with the permission to think differently about money so that you can consciously choose to live a meaningful and fulfilled life now. Our passion is making money simple, fun, and doable, helping you feel great about your money and getting your money working for you so you can thrive.
Hey, guess what? We are doing something new and we'd love for you to be a part of it. Do you have burning questions about anything financial that you wish you could have a conversation with us directly about and you'd love to have them answered on the podcast? We've made it super simple for you to ask your questions in a voicemail or an email so that we can answer them live on the show. Go to themoneyadvantage.com and click the link at the top right-hand corner that says send us a voicemail. You can literally record right on your desktop or on your cell phone. That will send us a voicemail right away and we'll be able to include your question on the show. Or if you prefer, email us at hello@themoneyadvantage.com with ask us anything in the subject line. We love answering your questions and it's literally the thing that gives us the most energy to be able to provide you the clarity you need to make decisions and move forward. So please do us the honor of sharing your questions. Now, back to the show. All right. Good morning and welcome back to the Money Advantage Podcast. We are talking today about privacy and creditor protection, two areas that are unique about the life insurance space, and you might be interested in this question. So if you have ever wondered how life insurance is protected in the event of a creditor claim or bankruptcy, this is what we're talking about today. And it's going to be a really interesting conversation because there are a lot of nuances from state to state, but we want to be able to bring this to the forefront of your attention and share this with you. So if you are in the position of wanting to think about the future and having asset protection in place, this is a conversation that you're going to want to tune into. So Bruce, let's go ahead and talk about why life insurance, why is this relevant to life insurance in the first place?
I think the first thing a person has to understand is that privacy and protection, liability or credit protection, is never something that a person needs until they actually need it. You know, in other words, they don't think they need it until they actually need it.
Oh, right.
And then it's too late, especially in the realm of creditor protection and creditor and bankruptcy protection, especially in certain states. And I guess we should start the show off the saying that this is so state specific that we're going to be talking in general. Mm-hmm. But in most cases, the state, you actually have to have the correct, wherever you put your money for protection, you actually have to have it seasoned. In other words, it has to be in that particular vehicle for a certain amount of time for you to actually get those protections. I recently had a client who was an attorney, and the judge actually the jury convicted this person, and it came back later that there was some evidence that wasn't presented in the trial, and they're trying to pin it on the lawyer the attorney that said he had knowledge of it. And so he's worried about, you know, actually getting sued by the family in a civil lawsuit. And you know, he actually came to us and said, what can I do, because I heard you can use life insurance for this. And we said, well, that's true, but you, in the state of Missouri anyway, you cannot actually have a situation where you're trying to actually protect your assets after the fact of there was an event that could possibly cause you to want to protect your assets.
Mm-hmm. So right. Well said, Bruce.
Yeah. So he is actually not in a very good state. Luckily he has, I don't mean he's a state as in the state of the union, but in a very good position.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about this a little bit later, but he does have some of his assets in other positions that would be good. But you have to protect. These are the boring things that people don't think about. But I'm telling you, the wealthy think about this. Mm-hmm. Okay. I just got an inquiry from one of our clients in Texas this week who has well over $5 million of assets. And he said, am I protected from lawsuits? And mm-hmm. I said, yes, you are. We've already taken care of this. And so it's on his mind. Many mm-hmm. people that might have, you know, lesser amount than that, they might have $500,000 of net worth. They don't think of these things and they open themselves up. But that $500,000 is actually more important to that person than the $5 million is to that that other person, because the cash flow is different. He cash flows really, really well, the $5 million. So if he loses half or all of the $5 million, he still has cash flow that's really large. That's how he came into that $5 million. The person that has $500,000, they're barely meeting their needs every month. And so if they were to lose the $500,000, they would not be able to build that back up. So people that say, well, I don't have very much anyway, they can't take it from me and it's not going to really matter. I think that's really narrow-minded or short-sighted, maybe more than narrow-minded. So this isn't exciting things, but it's important things.
Bruce, I think that that was just a really fabulous lead-in. And first you said, it's not something you can plan for after the fact. And in fact, there's a few places where asset protection doesn't apply. And that's really specifically if somebody is going ahead to purchase the life insurance with the intent to defraud a creditor or avoid a creditor. And at the time that they're putting the policy in place, that provision does not any longer apply. And then also if the cash value was pledged as collateral for a loan, which sometimes a bank might require you to get life insurance to secure a loan, and then if you defaulted on that loan with that particular bank that required that life insurance loan, then of course they would still be able to attach to that life insurance. But what's really interesting is the life insurance has a cash value and also a death benefit. And those two pieces are seen a little differently and can both be protected or sometimes not. Usually there is protection in most states for some or all of the cash value and death benefit. That's what I'll say that is kind of mm-hmm. the catch-all for this, which covers all the nuances from state by state. So there's creditor protection, which is in a situation if you are being pursued by a creditor, there's a claim against you, or there's also bankruptcy, where if you are the debtor and now you've filed for bankruptcy, we want to think about what the provisions are that apply in those cases as well. Bruce, something else that you mentioned that I just really loved was that it's not the person who has the most money who is needing to think about this the most. It's the person who probably has less who is needing to protect their assets. And usually we think about that completely opposite. We think, I don't have enough to protect. I don't need to think about this. But it's as simple as, I remember a property and casualty insurance agent who owns multiple offices here locally in the state of Virginia, a friend of mine, said to me one day, people don't think about liability until after the fact. And we think, oh, well, my auto insurance policy covers all liability. It doesn't. And if you have your dog bite someone in the park or cause some type of an injury that lands them in the hospital and they have hospital bills, that can come back to you. And if it's above your liability coverage policy, whatever you have in place in your life, that can be a claim that becomes attached to creditors and could have additional assets, your wealth, be used up in covering this type of liability. So it's definitely something that we need to think about in advance. So what's really interesting about life insurance is that it's a very private asset. And Bruce, I know that we have people ask about this regularly. I think a lot of people just don't want to have public knowledge and public information about all of the money that they have. And life insurance is really good at protecting your wealth as a privacy barrier. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah. So yeah, privacy is really important to a lot of people. This is ingrained in people. I'm not sure it's a really good thing, because they also ingrain it. I think we've talked about this in other episodes, that they also ingrained it that it's so private. I don't even want to teach my children, you know, what I am doing. What I have found is that, especially here in Missouri, you know, I'm in a metropolitan area, but we do a lot of work with people outside the metropolitan area. And it's not because of our competency so much, but they simply do not want their assets or to know that people are actually in their area are actually working with somebody, because they're afraid that somebody's going to find out how much the assets they have, to the point where they don't even want to walk into a major wirehouse in a strip mall where there might be a Edward Jones, a Wells Fargo, or a Morgan Stanley person, because they don't want people to even think, oh, well, those people have so much money, they have to have a financial advisor. It's a weird mindset about people wanting to be private. Mm-hmm. And so what life insurance does is actually you do not have to report any of the earnings on the life insurance to the federal government, as long as you're doing it properly, as long as it's set up properly. The other thing is that if you're going to actually use or going to apply for federal aid for college,
the FAFSA.
Yep, mm-hmm. You do not have to put it on the FAFSA form, which is the form that is required to actually show all your assets that are reportable. So you do not have to put cash value on there because it's not reportable. You do not have to do that. So that's one of the ways that it is seen as being a very good asset, because people don't want to have to reveal it to people. It doesn't have to be revealed. You don't have to reveal it for other loan applications if you're going to do it. Oftentimes, it is in your best interest to do it to show that you could have additional collateral. I'm not a big believer in assigning cash value to loans because it ties up your asset to it, but they will always push towards that. The banks will always push towards you assigning the cash value as collateral to their loan. And I tell my clients all the time, it's a competitive world. So just tell them you won't do that. You're going to take your business to another bank. And because once you sign that collateral cannot be used anymore for your own personal use. And it's out there as actually not being private anymore because people know about it. So privacy is just very important for people.
Yes. Well, I think that's really set up the conversation really well here. So we normally talk about life insurance in terms of the tremendous benefits that it has as a living asset for you. So not only are you building inside of a privatized banking or infinite banking policy, this death benefit that will pay out to your heirs, this is an estate planning tool, it's a legacy creation tool, and it gives you peace of mind that your loved ones are going to be taken care of no matter what happens to you. But in addition, then we talk about the cash value growing with this uninterrupted compound competitive growth rate. We talk about it being safe, meaning it's not going to drop in value. And then you have this accessibility where you can access and use the cash value through collateralization, which means you're borrowing against your policy values and then having a loan that you can pay back at your leisure and your own set schedule. So, and what I mean by that is you can pay it all or a lump sum, you can pay over time, you can pay in whatever increments you want. And so the reason that I bring all of that up is that we talk about those aspects of being able to use your life insurance on a regular basis, but we haven't really addressed before this idea that you are able to have creditor protection, asset protection, and bankruptcy protection within this policy. So what exactly does that mean? Let's go ahead and just kind of talk about the high level of what creditor and asset protection is really all about. So there are some events that could cause you to lose all or part of your assets. And these are things like lawsuits. This could be a civil lawsuit where you are on the losing side of that. It could be divorce. This could be bankruptcy. This could be any creditor coming to collect from you some debt that is overdue. And in this type of situation, your assets can be garnished or attached to a claim. And we want to think about, how does life insurance apply to that? Is the life insurance attachable? Will it be something that can be used or taken up to pay for any of these type of liabilities? So Bruce, let's talk about the protections that you have under federal and state law, because there's kind of two separate buckets of this and how they interact together. We can just do a high level overview, but I'll let you take this.
Yeah. So here's the thing. There's federal laws, and it's been my experience that there is federal laws, but then it would have to be a federal case to apply the federal laws to the particular situation. And that doesn't happen very often. So the state laws tend to oversee the federal laws.
I read as well in one position that some states will be the defining final rule, and some states then allow you to choose the federal guideline or the state guideline, whichever is better. And so it's interesting that there's some federal protections, specifically when you talk on the bankruptcy side. I think it's like $13,400 of cash value that can be protected. And now if that's better than the state protection afforded in one particular state, then you might want to take the federal protection. But it's just interesting that there's some federal oversight, but mostly it is state by state, right?
Correct. And the federal oversight's mainly all over your retirement accounts, which are overseen by a law, your ERISA law, that takes care of all retirement accounts. Mm-hmm. And you do have to be careful, because employee-sponsored retirement accounts, such as 401ks, simple accounts, SEP accounts, so on and so forth, they have different protections than you would have in a rollover. Like, you take your money out of a 401k and you roll it into an IRA, there's no tax implications. And in some cases, in most cases, you actually have a lot more breadth of what you can invest in an IRA than you can in a sponsored employee 401k. Mm-hmm. And there's rules on how you can roll it over and when you can roll it over, so on and so forth. But the protections are different because of the ERISA laws only protect the employee sponsored retirement accounts, where an IRA is an individual retirement account. But still, the individual retirement accounts are protected up to $1 million in bankruptcy, but they're not necessarily protected under creditors. Now, I think maybe some of the listeners might be saying, well, I thought creditor protection and bankruptcy protection was the same thing. But remember, creditor is anybody that you owe money to, and you have defaulted on the terms of that agreement, can actually get a civil default against you and demand that you pay them. And they could actually have a lawsuit against you. That doesn't mean you have declared bankruptcy, where you actually, bankruptcy means you have fewer, basically you have, there's two types of bankruptcies. There's total bankruptcy and there's reorganization. And we won't go into those in this particular podcast, but just know there's a couple different types of bankruptcy. Some of the bankruptcy lawyers might even say there's more than that, but those are the two main ones. And so bankruptcy is when you basically declare to everybody, and it's a public thing, I have more debts than I have assets. I can't function anymore financially. So I'm done. I have to get a clean start. And our laws actually allow that for people. Mm-hmm. And the reason they allow it for people, in my opinion, and from what I've been told, is because a lot of people say, oh, I can't believe they allow bankruptcy. You know, these people, they should pay their debts, you know, but the problem is, if you don't allow that in our free market society, a lot of people would not take enough risk to that then actually have our society benefit from those risks. And so that's one of the reasons they allow this. And they also allow it out of the kindness of their hearts, because they're like, well, you know, yes, these people that have accounts receivable from these people, yes, they're getting hurt, but they're not getting hurt as badly as from this one person who made some mistakes. And sometimes these mistakes are out of their hands. Let's think about 2008, the downturn. Oh, right. with the mortgage bubble. People that were in their homes that lost their jobs, they weren't responsible for actually lowering interest rates and giving bad loans to people, but yet right. that caused them to actually lose their jobs, and that actually caused their homes to actually plummet in value, where they could not even sell it if they wanted to, and they couldn't make the payments.
Right.
So it really wasn't their fault. So mm-hmm. this bankruptcy allows that to happen. So in some states, Cash value is protected from bankruptcy, but not creditors. Others are protected from creditors, but not bankruptcy. So you have to actually look at your state and see if it's state specific as far as that. Some are just unlimited. You know, they say it's, you know, if it's in the cash value, then creditors are protected and bankruptcy protected. I believe California, there's 50 states, so I don't have them all memorized, but I believe California, which is usually pretty liberal with all their protections to their people that live in their states, they actually default to the federal guidelines and say you can only protect up to the federal guidelines, and then after that, it's not protected.
And what you mean by that as well, so there's, for instance, with creditor protection, I do know that you have the death benefit, then you have the cash value. So some states, it's kind of on a spectrum. So there's some states that will protect your entire cash value that's inside of your policy, and some will cap it and say that a certain portion of your cash value is exempt from being attachable in a creditor claim, but anything above that is not exempt. So meaning if there's a cap of, say, $10,000, then $10,000 is not attachable to the creditor claim. But if you had $50,000 of cash value, then anything above the 10,000, so 40,000, would be attachable.
Yeah, it's one of the bad things in the state of Missouri where I live. It's up to $150,000 of your cash value. So that's the first 150 is protected. Anything above that is not protected. There are not a whole lot of states that are like that. Most of the states are either unlimited, or they say the cash value is totally, but the death benefit isn't. You know, most of them don't tie a particular number and say you only protect it up to this value, and then above that is not protected.
Which, for interesting purposes, I was looking up the state of Virginia, and so what I discovered as well is that the death benefit is exempt from debts of the insured, so meaning the person who owns or is insured on the policy, and the owner of the policy, if it's payable to someone other than the insured owner. Yeah. Meaning that the beneficiary has to be someone besides you. And yeah. So that is, that's how the death benefit is exempt from creditors.
Richard, before you go in,
yeah.
Does it actually say if it's exempted, if the beneficiary isn't insured, isn't the insured or owner? Because
if payable to someone other than the insured or owner.
I don't know
if the death benefit is. So they're saying that you can't be the beneficiary of your own policy, or your estate can't be the beneficiary of your own policy.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know how you could be the beneficiary of your own policy. You're dead. Your trust could be.
That may be what they're referring to.
Yeah, but you can't. I don't see how you could claim your.
It was some interesting language, I have to say, with some legalese there. Yeah. They did say then the cash value, the statute exempts the cash value from creditors of the insured owner or beneficiary. So meaning, if the beneficiary is the insured owner, spouse, or dependent of the owner or insured, and the person who have effected the contract. So basically what I think they're saying is the full death benefit and the full cash value is protected in the state of Virginia. And I said, I think they're saying this. And what that means is that if I am the insured and owner of my policy, it protects my husband's claims as well as my children's claims if they're the beneficiary or the children. So I think that's what that means. And then it does say for bankruptcy in the state of Virginia, there's no federal exemption. The state exemption is the same as the non-bankruptcy context. So again, very interesting state by state. We're going to post in the show notes for this particular podcast, which will be at themoneyadvantage.com. You will be able to have a link to a state by state interactive map that will show you what those exclusions and the protections look like in your specific state. And then there's also another article that we'll be posting, which shows the protections by various account types and how they're protected.
Yeah, I think the last thing I'd like to bring up on this topic is protection is important, not just as far as protecting your assets in this particular case, the cash value or the death benefit. There are other ways that you can protect your assets that we can talk about in other shows. But real quickly, I like to say that everybody listening should actually, in my opinion, add umbrella coverage, liability coverage.
Absolutely.
To their homeowners or renters insurance. It's very, very inexpensive. very, very inexpensive. You could get, in most cases, you could get a $1 million coverage for $250 to $300 a year for this. And what I've found from my estate planning attorney resources, they say in most cases, what will happen if something happens where you have liability, somebody comes onto your property, slips and falls, you actually are texting and you are driving, which you shouldn't be doing, and you have an accident. And they actually gave an example of somebody who lost a lawsuit who was texting at a stoplight. And then they drove off through an intersection, got into a wreck, and they actually got a subpoena to look at their phone and found out that they were texting. And the person said, well, I was doing it at the stoplight when I wasn't driving, but nobody could actually put that at the exact second when they were texting. And so there was enough doubt in it that they actually lost it. And the reason he brought this up is that they look at what your liability limits are. So if you have an umbrella coverage of $1 million, they're not going to try to go over that. So you have some good protection. They just try to go up to the limits. And there are all kinds of limits in each individual state too. But if you have that, you really are protecting yourself from lawsuits. And we all know there's frivolous lawsuits. And I'm going to readily admit that a lot of times insurance companies they'll just settle. Even if you're in the right, they'll just settle because it's cheaper for the insurance company to settle. They'll get it. I just as an investment advisor, I just received a person who just got a settlement of $300,000 from being in a car crash, and they just got a $300,000 settlement. And basically, they just settled because the insurance company felt like it was going to cost them more than $300,000 in legal fees. Now, that seems to make claim. To fight the claim. Now, that seems to make a lot of sense to people. But what ends up happening now to my client, she's going to have a claim of $300,000 on her experience. And so her rates are going to go up.
Yes.
So the insurance company is like, well, I'm going to make it up a little bit on the rates, going down the future. So protect, my whole point of all this is protection, protection, protection is what people should be thinking of.
Absolutely, Bruce. I really appreciate you sharing that. And we're right at the end point where we wanted to end the show today. However, we did have a question, and it's the question is from Dane Jones on YouTube saying, do you mean protected from possible seizure or garnishment? And yes.
Yeah, I would say it depends. Once again, I hate to say this, but it depends. It depends on the particular state that you're living in. Yes.
So again, Dane, we'll make sure that in the show notes that you will get the link to a state-specific map that will help you understand what the protection is for your state. Also, there's a really interesting point that I was going to bring up at the beginning, and I see that Lucas has made a comment as well, that you can be the owner and not the insured, or vice versa. So we've talked about this on other podcasts before, but with a particular life insurance policy, you have the owner of the policy who is paying, you have the policy insured, which is the person whose life has been underwritten for the purpose of this policy, and then you have the beneficiary who receives the payout of the death benefit claim after the insured passes away. So in this case, there is protections in some case for the owner and for the insured, which may not be the same person. So anything else that we want to say before we wrap this episode?
No, I appreciate people listening. It would be very helpful if people would subscribe to the YouTube channel.
Yes.
And then they would get notifications on these different events that we're trying to help people on these different topics. And then if just remember, protection not only brings you protection at the time that you actually need it, but it also brings you peace of mind so that you don't have to worry about things along the way.
Absolutely. So today we're just talking about one element of that. We're talking about the protection component in creditor protection and asset protection and bankruptcy protection of life insurance specifically, but even life insurance is just one small part of a bigger journey on this path to building time and money freedom. And really what we see that taking is keeping as much of the money that you make as possible in a foundational layer. And the second layer on top of that is protecting the money that you make and keep. And a third layer would be creating additional income from assets so that you can create time and money freedom. And so we would love to help you with that journey, with implementing that in your life and getting one step closer to building that time and money freedom that you want and crave. And what you can do is you can book a conversation with our advisor team. You will be able to do that at themoneyadvantage.com. That'll take you directly to our calendar, and you will be able to select an option for whatever time would work best for you. And we can help you figure out those next steps to time and money freedom if you're interested in looking at infinite banking, cash flow strategies, or alternative investments. And Bruce, you alluded to this as well with asking people to subscribe to the YouTube channel. We also have the podcast. You can subscribe to the podcast and you will get notifications about the content that we publish on a weekly basis. And we also have the show notes at themoneyadvantage.com, which is a full article about the particular topic that we've addressed and discussed on the show. So you'll get additional information there. And if you have questions, we would love to hear them from you, either about the topic while we're talking live or for answering in a future episode. We'd like to do a conversation that we just answer questions from our listener audience. So if you would like to be part of that, you can hop on over to themoneyadvantage.com. At the very top, there is a send us a voicemail link, and we'd love to hear your questions so we can share that on the air and answer that live. Now, in closing, please remember, success leaves clues. So model the successful few, not the crowd, and build a life and business that you love. Discover the secret of how to earn a return on the same money in two places at the same time so that you can strengthen your investment returns. We've created a free guide for you that explains the top three things every investor needs their privatized banking system to do. Go to themoneyadvantage.com/banking, put in your name and primary email address, click the Send My Free Guide button right now, and we'll see you on the inside.
Thank you for listening to the Money Advantage podcast. Today's show notes and resources are available for you on themoneyadvantage.com. If you like this episode, make sure you subscribe and leave a review. If you have any questions or desire to speak with a qualified financial professional after listening to today's podcast, we encourage you to reach out to us at hello@themoneyadvantage.com or check us out at themoneyadvantage.com. The opinions and views expressed here are for informational purposes only. This material is educational in nature and should not be deemed as a solicitation of any specific product or service. All investments involve risk and a potential loss of principal. Kalos Capital Incorporated nor Kalos Management Incorporated offer tax or legal advice. Please consult with a tax advisor or attorney for advice regarding the impact on your portfolio. Securities offered through Kalos Capital Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC, MSRB, and investment advisory services offered through Kalos Management Incorporated and registered investment advisor, both located at 11525 Parkwood Circle, Alpharetta, Georgia. E3 Consultants Group is not an affiliate or subsidiary of Kalos Capital Incorporated or Kalos Management Incorporated.